Hello. I want to talk to you today about my research on the sociodemographic risk factors for abusive head trauma in infants in Pennsylvania. And first, I want to acknowledge my co-author, Ronald Tringali, who is an epidemiologist at the Pennsylvania Department of Health. And since we didn't read the bios, just so you know where I'm coming from, I am the EIS officer assigned to the Pennsylvania Department of Health. I have no financial or other relationships to disclose. And this is why I updated my presentation just like 10 minutes ago, because I came across this in the news yesterday. It is a Pennsylvania woman who was sent to trial for the death of a three-month-old infant. And what the woman said was that she struck the baby several times over the head because the baby was crying too much. Although this particular woman is from Pennsylvania and my research is from Pennsylvania, of course, we all know that this is an issue everywhere. Abusive head trauma is a leading cause of death in the United States, and those infants who survive often experience severe neurological disability. And then even mild abuse can lead to long-term behavioral problems, including self-injury and hyperactivity. The CDC provides us a really nice definition of abusive head trauma in young children as an injury to the skull or intracranial contents of an infant or young child due to inflicted blunt impact or violent shaking. And I just want everybody to think about this definition because it used to be called, or sometimes still is called, shaken baby syndrome. And the CDC and other researchers really want to emphasize that it's not always shaking that causes this type of trauma or this type of head injury in infants. So even our lady from Pennsylvania said that she was repeatedly hitting the infant on the head, and so she didn't actually shake the infant, but the injuries were very consistent with a shaken presentation. Among preschool-age children, where this is usually examined, infants under the age of one have the highest rates of abusive head trauma, and a recent national study estimated 28.9 per 100,000 infants are experience abusive head trauma, and other estimates have gone up to 40 per 100,000 infants. Higher rates of abusive head trauma are found in infants less than 1 year old, often related to prolonged inconsolable crying, which is basically normal for infants. And in addition, infants that are abused at 1 year old or less are at greater risk of severe injury, including retinal bleeding, intracranial hemorrhage, and skull fracture. And then they have a higher risk of severe disability compared to older children. In the literature, there are several recognized and sometimes controversial risk factors for infant abusive head trauma, including male gender of the baby, having a young mother, being of low socioeconomic status, being of a minority race or ethnicity, and having public health insurance. In Pennsylvania, the last report of sociodemographic risk factors in abusive head trauma in infants ended in 2002. So our objective was to update that information with new information. And we looked at abusive cases of head trauma versus non-abusive cases of head trauma in infants less than one from 2000 to 2011, which was the data we had when I wrote this abstract. We also specifically wanted to examine race and ethnicity as well as insurance status as risk factors in Pennsylvania. To achieve our objective, we used hospital discharge data from all Pennsylvania hospitals. So all the hospitals are included in this analysis, and the data comes from the Pennsylvania Healthcare Cost Containment Council, or PHC4. We limited the analysis, as I said, to infants less than 1 year old at the time of hospital admission, and we defined abusive head trauma in accordance with CDC's recommendations for public health research and surveillance. The definition uses ICD-9 codes and external cause of injury codes to identify cases of abuse. More specifically there, the definition excludes falls or accidents, injury related to neglect, or gunshot or stab wounds. And so it is unfortunate that I did have to exclude some of those. Finally, we use logistic regression models to examine these risk factors for abusive head trauma, comparing abuse cases to non-abuse cases. I'm going to move into the results, and I just wanted to let you know that I'm going to discuss results in conjunction with discussion, because I don't think it makes a lot of sense to wait until the end. So for me, here we plotted the incidence rates for each year. You can see on the x-axis years 2000 to 2011, and the incident rate remains stable. It's not significantly different across the different time periods. The average incidence rate is 43.3 per 100,000, which is a little bit higher than what we see in the literature. Actually, the next two slides, I'll show some demographic characteristics of our study population. And there were 6,475 non-abusive head trauma cases or hospitalizations in Pennsylvania in that 11-year span. There were 754 abusive cases of head trauma. And here on this slide, I show we broke the population down into three-month intervals. And you can see that they did differ significantly by age. Their risk of abuse differed significantly. So you can see here there's a very high proportion of infants 4 to 6 months in the abusive category, whereas there's not nearly that high amount when you look at the total. So actually 0 to 3 months is the highest rate of head trauma, and that's because those are the babies that often will fall or be dropped. But 4 to 6 months was the highest rate for abuse. It agrees with the existing literature that found 3 to 4 month olds being the highest risk of abuse. In this slide, I just show that in our sample, although male gender is recognized risk for abuse, in our sample, those infants did not differ by male or female. Also, in our sample, minorities were not at a higher risk of abuse. And however, those with private insurance had a much lower percentage or a much lower proportion than those with public insurance. And I'm going to show this a lot more in the multivariate analysis. Here I'm showing the results of adjusted models. And again, male and female did not differ on risk of abuse. Also, the relationship between age and abuse was still significant, with infants 4 to 6 months old at the highest risk of abuse. This slide shows some data that's very consistent with the literature, and the odds of abuse were much, much higher for infants who ended up with a fatal injury and those with a severe injury using an injury severity score. And this is very consistent with the literature. Abusive injuries are more severe than non-abusive injuries. Next, we looked at minority status and insurance status. And I should clarify that in Pennsylvania, what we did was combine all the minorities together after looking at them separately. So we have enough power to look at non-Hispanic blacks, Hispanics, and other as a combined category. But when we looked separately at them, they did not differ from each other. And so we just simplified things by making a minority and a non-minority category. And in this analysis, the minority infants actually had a significantly lower risk of abuse compared to the non-minority infants. For insurance status, public insurance remained a much higher risk of abuse. This is our final analysis where we did stratification of the insurance and minority variables. We looked at non-minority infants with private insurance as the reference group and then compared the other combinations and found that infants with public insurance, regardless of their minority status, were at a much higher risk of abuse. Likewise, the highest risk of abuse in Pennsylvania was with non-minority infants with public insurance. Let's go back for a second. I want to emphasize that this is not consistent with what we see in the literature, and usually it's either minority and public insurance being at higher risk separately, or minorities with public insurance at the highest risk. So a little bit different in this sample of infants. There are two possible interpretations to this data. The first is that infants with public insurance are at higher risk of abusive head trauma. The second is that infants with public insurance are more likely to be reported for abusive head trauma. And unfortunately, with our data, we can't answer the question, like, which of these is the real answer. We do know that in one study, missed cases of abuse, or ones that weren't identified by the hospital, more often occurred with intact families or Caucasian families. And our study results support the idea that vaguely appears in the literature, that higher rates of abusive head trauma among racial and ethnic minorities may be related to measures of socioeconomic status, like insurance, and that in Pennsylvania, the highest rates of abuse are actually seen in non-minorities with public insurance. We do have a few limitations. First, hospital discharge data may not capture all cases of abuse, and we know that as a fact. Also, our discharge data technically may identify a single case more than once if they come into the hospital more than once during the first year of life, but we did take some measures to try to prevent that. And ICD-9 codes are known to be linked to underestimates of abuse, which points that our estimates might actually be lower than the actual incidence. So just recently, the 2012 to 2013 data has become available, so my next step is to add that in the analysis and see if there are any improvements or if anything differs. And I'm also planning to use a multi-level model to see if that fits better, if there may be a lack of independence between infants who are seen at the same hospital. So I can use a multi-level model to try and look at that relationship. And that could be hospital type. If they're seen at a children's hospital, they may be more likely to be reported for abuse things like that. And that is it.